Ireland will play Israel in the Nations League, but the home game will no longer take place in Dublin. The FAI has moved it overseas to a neutral venue behind closed doors. This has, as imagined, not really satisfied anybody. And now the dispute may be heading to the courts. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And Ireland, as you will all know, is due to play Israel twice in the Nations League this autumn. The first game, listed as Israel's home fixture, is scheduled for September 27th and is also expected to take place at a neutral venue, like many of Israel's recent matches. Ireland's home game was due to be played at the Aviva Stadium on October 4th. But the FAI has now confirmed that UEFA have said it's okay to move this game abroad and play it behind closed doors, citing operational difficulties with holding the game in Dublin. The decision comes after months of pressure from supporters, players and a campaign group who say Ireland should refuse to play Israel because of the war in Gaza. A survey of Irish supporter groups found that more than three quarters opposed the fixtures, while a majority of League of Ireland players surveyed also said the games should not go ahead. The government says the decision belongs to the FAI, and the FAI alone. And they insist sporting organisations must remain independent. Meanwhile, the junior sport minister, Charlie McConlogue, has argued that accepting the opposition's wider call to boycott events involving Israel could leave Ireland unable to take part in competitions such as the 2028 Olympics. Critics say that that exaggerates what is being proposed and allows the government to avoid taking a position on these particular matches. The Stop the Game campaign. And there are a couple of campaign groups, but one of them has now issued a pre-action letter seeking a judicial review. It argues that the FAI, Sport Ireland and government have legal and human rights obligations that must be considered before the games are allowed to proceed. The FAI say it must fulfil the fixtures under UEFA rules and has warned that refusing to play could lead to forfeiture, expulsion from the competition and wider consequences for Irish football. Well, Stuart Culhooley is a legal advisor to the Professional Footballers Association of Ireland, and he joins us now. Stuart, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Ciara.
To News Talk Daily. So if the FAI thought moving this to a neutral venue and putting it behind closed doors was going to draw a line under this saga, they were wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, I don't think the FAI did think that. I think they knew that the depth of feeling was very, very strong. And I think that they are, I think that part of the reason that they are moving it is because the depth of feeling is so strong. And I think one of the real concerns they had, and rightly so, is that there will be very, very significant protests if the game took place in Dublin. So I think it's a logistical decision. I don't think it's necessarily a moral decision that's moved it away from Dublin. I think they pretty much said that themselves, is that this isn't done for moral reasons. This has been done for logistical reasons. They think it's
unsafe. Security reasons.
Basically security. They think it's unsafe. And they're right. It would be very unsafe to have it in Dublin. So I think that's the reason it's happened. But I don't think there are any illusions this is going to keep people happy, because it's definitely not.
We don't know where it's going to be played. Is it likely we won't find out where the venue is until much closer to the time?
It's an interesting point. I think it's quite likely. I mean, they have specifically said it's not going to be in Hungary. So up to now, we know these games have been played in Hungary. And I think, as far as I'm aware, although I don't think they actually have told us where the away match for Israel is going to be played either. But again, I think we were assuming that it was going to be Hungary. Maybe neither of them would be in Hungary. No one knows this for sure. I'd imagine you're right. I think it probably will be much closer to time to find out where the games are going to be, because again, people will want to protest there, I'm sure.
What is your sense in terms of the match itself? Do you think there will be a huge protest at the game? Are you confident that all of the professional players will take part in this game if they're called up?
The first question is, do I think there'll be protests? I absolutely do. I think there will be protests wherever it is. Obviously, it'd be a lot less than it was in Dublin, because, you know, it's much harder to access somewhere that's presumably going to be quite far away. But I don't think you should be under any illusions that there will be protests, and there definitely will be, no matter where it is and no matter what happens. To answer your second question as to whether the players will take part in the game, I simply don't know. I don't know the extent to which they've been canvassed. I don't know their extent to which their views have been canvassed. I don't represent the players of the international team, so I don't know what they're saying. But I would think, and I know, that there are some who have moral objections to it. But whether those moral objections would go as far as them saying we're not going to play in the game, I just don't know. I would guess, and I would think, that they would be united in whatever they decide to do.
Because to be clear, the Professional Footballers Association of Ireland isn't representing those international players who would be called up to play this game.
No, not at this stage, no. I mean, we represent the domestic players and also the women's international team, but not the men's international team, no.
Explain how FAI members can still stop this game from happening.
Well, the way that can be done, in theory, is through an EGM. Now, in reality, a decision made in EGM is non-binding, but what can happen and will happen is a motion will be brought to an extraordinary general meeting of the FAI General Assembly. The football community, which constitutes this General Assembly, will meet and will discuss a resolution about whether the game should be boycotted or not. That resolution will be put to the floor, I would imagine, and it will result in a finding which, if it exceeds 50%, I think is a moral answer to the FAI and a very much a direction to the FAI board that the majority of Irish football is not happy with this. Now, they are not obliged to take it and their constitution does not oblige them, and it's accepted that they don't. But
and to be fair, I don't think they need that EGM to give them a sense of the strength, the feeling that is out there.
No, they don't. But I suppose what they could argue, and they probably will argue, is that nobody knows for sure what the football community thinks. We know that domestic players have said 63%. We know the supporters have said 75%. But, you know, we've got clubs, we've got all sorts of other parts of the community that haven't necessarily been asked what they think yet. But what we do know is that 93% of the FAI General Assembly in November last year voted to have Israel expelled from UEFA competition. And that is a very significant majority.
When we talk about this polling, right, who exactly has been polled at this point, Stuart? Whose opinion do we have here?
Okay, well, so far we have the domestic players in the League of Ireland, men and women, who have 63% have said they do not want the game to go ahead. We also have the Irish Supporters Association who have said 75% do not want to go ahead.
So you have the League of Ireland players, you have the supporters, they're the members of that particular association. Who else?
That's pretty much, they're the main ones that have been polled so far officially. We've obviously had other polls that have taken place. I think it was an Ireland Thinks poll out very recently, which also showed a majority were against the game. And that's just a general population one. And I think you can see the depth of feeling that has increased greatly. And I think it's changed a lot since we've had the Qatar game, in which the tennis ball protest was very significant. And then the very influential comments from Richie Saldier after that game, which I think brought a lot more people into the conversation than hadn't been there before.
Being here tonight has kind of really hit home what it is they're protesting and what it is we're potentially facing. In 4 months, as things stand, it'll be nearly 3 years into a genocidal campaign. The Israeli flag is going to hang on that pole over there. The Israeli nation, the anthem is going to be played on the speaker. Israeli fans potentially waving flags will be in those seats just there. The dignitaries, whoever they may be, maybe it's the president. After everything the president's family has been through recently, maybe the president will be the one who'd be forced to shake hands with the representatives of that nation just over there. It's baffling to me how 2.5 years into what's going on in the world at the moment, it is controversial or contentious or objectionable that someone suggests, do you know what, maybe let's not just play football against them.
So I think, you know, that has changed a lot of people's views, and I've seen a strength of feeling in the last 2 weeks, which I hadn't really seen before. And it seems to be only increasing as things go on.
I mean, there's lots of iterations of this Stop the Game campaign, but one of them has engaged a solicitor to issue a pre-action letter for judicial review. Now, what does that actually mean, Stuart, in layman's terms?
So Dara Mackin is a very well-known solicitor who works for Phoenix Law and is a very extremely well-regarded human rights lawyer and has taken a lot of very significant cases over the years.
He would have been involved in the Stardust inquiry, for example.
Exactly, and many other human rights matters. So he's a man who we should all greatly respect, and if he has written this letter, he's written it for a good reason. So he obviously believes that there is a potential judicial review that can take place here. And what he's done is he's written what we call a letter before action, which is a letter to say to government, you have not done this thing correctly. You have not done enough investigation into the human rights abuses that are going on in Gaza. And as a result of this, we are going to take you to court unless you confirm that you are going to start that investigation prior to staging any games. So, or allowing these games to take place and spend public money on it. So exactly how this is going to pan out, I don't know. But what I can tell you, what I do know is what happens normally in judicial review procedures is that a letter is written, assuming that the action that's taken, that's suggested in the letter, isn't done, and I'd imagine it won't be, then the next step is to take an application to the court and to ask for leave for judicial review. Now, what that means is that you have to be able to show that you have what's a stateable case for judicial review. If you can't get that level, then you won't proceed any further. If you can get to that level, then the case will proceed to a full hearing at which government and all the parties will be represented.
If it got to that point where they were seeking leave to have this judicially reviewed, what would the stateable case be? What would the argument do you think that they'd be making?
Well, I think it relates to the use of public funds and whether they can be legitimately used in circumstances where we're aware that human rights abuses are going on elsewhere, and where we know that in this particular instance that UEFA are in breach of their own statutes by allowing football to go on in other people's countries. And this is specifically outlawed by FIFA statutes and as a result also by UEFA. So it's very clear that Israel are in breach of UEFA statutes. And I would imagine that's going to be a cornerstone of their case.
You talk about FIFA statutes here being breached. What specifically are you talking about there, Stuart?
Yeah, there's a statute which basically says that no country may play a sport on another person's territory. So Israel have been playing in Palestine territory for years now, years and years and years. This application has been a complaint to FIFA, which has not been dealt with by FIFA, and it's largely been ignored. But they are clearly in breach of that statute.
There is a second statute, isn't there? They talk about the racism statute. What exactly does that say, and how do you say that that's being breached?
Well, what they're saying, basically, where there are clubs in Israel who continue to involve in racist chanting against Palestinian clubs, and they have not been punished appropriately or properly by the Israeli FA, and they have continued to effectively ignore them. That was resulted in a complaint to FIFA, which took 2 years to resolve, and which finally resulted in a fine which was actually lower than the fine that the Israeli FA themselves made. So it wasn't taken terribly seriously, but they are in breach of that statute, clearly.
I don't know. It's a tricky argument, is my sense with this, Stuart. I don't know if there's any precedent for this. I'm not quite sure how successful this could be.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle, I would have thought. It's a tricky case. I'm not aware of any specific precedents, but I suppose we must remember we're dealing with an unprecedented situation, really. This is a very, very different situation to one that many of us have ever dealt with. In the past, when countries have been involved in human rights abuses, UEFA or FIFA have usually banned them from competition, and they haven't done it in this case. So we are in fairly uncharted waters here. So, I think maybe precedent won't apply in the same way as it usually would, but I certainly would think they will have a difficulty in bringing it home fully.
Okay. People who are familiar with the judicial review process, one thing we hear about it is that it takes years and years and years. What happens in an instance like this where you have a deadline?
Yeah, when it's time limited like this, where there's an urgency attached to it, they will facilitate you if it's appropriate. The courts will always work to facilitate you in circumstances where the matter becomes what we call moot after October. Clearly, it would have to be heard reasonably quickly, I would have thought. So the courts will sit through August and September if they need to, and there are always emergency hearings. So I very little doubt that if we get to the point where there's a full hearing, then I very little doubt that they will find time.
Okay, but before that, as you say, there's the stumbling block because you have to have that stateable case.
You do have to have that.
Is there any realistic legal route that could stop the fixtures from taking place?
There is a realistic route, but it's not one I've seen anyone prepared to take. And I think the way it could be dealt with is to take a case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And again, it comes back to the point I made earlier about UEFA being in breach of their own statutes. So if somebody was to take that case and to bring it to what we call CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport, CAS could, in theory, say that this match should not be taking place. Israel should not be in competition. Again, it's an uphill battle, but it's probably a more realistic one. But again, it would require someone to take the case. And the big question that always arises is who has the legal standing to do so? As from what I can see, the only people who could really do that is Ireland. And Ireland, I don't think, wants to do that.
And when you say Ireland, who are you talking about?
The government, the state.
So they are the people who would have the legal standing to go to the Court of Arbitration.
It'd be more difficult for others to prove their legal standing in those circumstances, I would have thought.
Okay. And it would also be costly.
Very costly. But I mean, do you know what? I'm not sure the cost will come into it in the sense that for people who had the desire to bring a case, I think they'll be prepared to do so and put their money into it. But because it's a very emotive subject, and a lot of people are prepared to put their money where their mouth is, I'd say. But I think in reality, the only people with the standing here are government, and they're the ones who have to take the case.
Okay, so outside of the government, anybody else?
Yeah, well, the FAI, I suppose, would also have authority to do so. They would be. I would have thought it'd be FAI backed by government would be where that would come from, but. The FAI have shown no interest in doing so, and I don't believe there's any chance they will do that.
And the government has shown less?
Less interest. So I would think neither would have any real interest in doing so.
Okay. So really, the sense I get from all of this, the court route, while it is noisy, while it ensures a conversation continues and the debate continues, the likelihood of getting any real success through the courts to stop this game is small.
I would have said it's small. Yeah, I mean, it's not zero, but it's certainly not a high one. And so I think your best bet of trying to stop this game at this stage is through the moral outrage that we've seen, and eventually to persuade people that it's not going to happen or shouldn't happen. The players will have a view. At some point, they may well express that view. They've been put in an invidious position, one that I don't like them being in, where the pressure's been put on them now because the FAI put them in that state, and they shouldn't be in that position. And we don't like that.
You mean the pressure to play the game or not play the game?
Correct, exactly.
And to make it sort of their own personal decision.
Yeah, exactly. We've been told that the FAI are not going to stop the game, that's clear. And they told them to move it elsewhere. We've been told that certain government ministers don't want to attend the game in Ireland, but they still are happy for the players to play the game. I'm not really sure how that will play with them. I would imagine the players are feeling a little bit sore about this. I would imagine they're feeling that, you know, why have we been left to make what is a very, very difficult moral decision, and which I'm sure is causing them sleepless nights. So I just don't think, I don't think that's fair on them, but it seems that that's where we are.
I mean, there'd be lots of arguments being made as to why this game should go ahead, right? There is the sanctions that the FAI would face. Mm. There is the loss of 6 points to the Ireland team. There's the handing of those 6 points to Israel. It's ensuring that they would come out of that group potentially in the top spot, and that would increase their chances of getting into some big, big tournaments going forward. Whereas if you feel they're sports washing here, well, good luck seeing it on a more international stage. Yeah. And there's also those who say, hold on a second. I mean, we have a ceasefire here. We have an agreement now between Israel and Gaza, and that's where we should be putting our focus. That's where we should be putting our energy now. This is about punishing something when actually we should be trying to resolve an issue.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have the power to resolve anything, but I think what we do have the power to do is to express our displeasure of what continues to go on in Gaza. There is a ceasefire, but is it a real ceasefire? Is it a ceasefire that is making the life any easier for the people of the Palestinians in Gaza? I don't think it is. So I think we can. I certainly don't think we can say that we should be happy and we should be able to say that what's occurred in the last few months is acceptable. It's simply not. Answer your question about the sanctions. Yeah, you're right. There are sanctions, but the sanctions are relatively minor. We're talking about a Nations League game in League B. It's unlikely to affect our ability to qualify for Euro 2028, which we're hosting. There's also the strong possibility that 6 points, if we won't get the 6 points, but number one, we might lose some of the points anyway if we play the game. And secondly, there is a recalculation coming for the Nations League in which they may change the system, which may make the effect of not playing the game a lot less than it previously was. So I think it's a relatively minor one. The FAI have talked about financial repercussions, but we haven't been told what they are, and I don't think FAI know what they are. I think they're speculating as to what they are. And while fines may well follow from not playing, I'd be surprised if it did actually follow. I mean, this is a very, very difficult motor political issue. It's not like we said we woke up one day and said we're not playing this game. This is one of those ones where we have very good reasons and it's been well thought through. And if it does come to pass we don't play the game, it'll be because of public pressure.
But the impact, right, on Israel, if we don't play this game, that's minor and it's passed. Come those two games, Israel moves on. Nothing actually ultimately will change.
You have to start somewhere, though. And this is the point. We could argue that about many, many things. But at some point, somebody has to say no. Somebody has to say, we are not going to play this game. I firmly believe that if we do this, others will follow. And I think then it becomes a domino. And then you have more and more countries saying, we're not going to do this. And I think the effect on Israel of a massive thing like a sport, their biggest sport in Israel, not happening, I think that affects them in a big way.
Look, it's just not going away, this issue, is it? Where do you think, really, realistically, this is all going to end up?
I don't know, but what I'm fairly confident of is if the match is not stopped, I think the pressure will increase. I think you're going to see more and more unhappiness with the general public. There is a match in between the two Israeli games in October with Austria at home in the Aviva, which I think will be involve a lot of protests. And that is going to be a real focal point, I think. So I think it's a long way to go between now and October. I wouldn't like to speculate exactly where it's going to end, but I don't think you could. I think you can say as a matter of certainty that this match is not guaranteed to go ahead.
All right. Sure. Thanks so much for speaking to us here today on News Talk Daily. And as I said, it is an issue that we certainly haven't heard the last of. To find out more, stay tuned to News Talk Radio because we will be covering it over the next couple of weeks and months for sure. Until tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.